Why don't we pray? Oh, dear Lord, thank you for this day that we have, Lord. Thank you that we have the ability and the freedom to gather together, Lord, to worship you, to have fellowship with each other in this place, Lord. We pray, God, that all that is said and done today would just bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, you guys. Good morning. I am excited to be beginning this next series. Don't be a chicken. Don't be a chicken. You know, but why are we doing this don't be a chicken thing? I was thinking back to when we were kids. You know, when we were kids, if you're older than 30, you probably have these great memories of doing things that are not allowed anymore, right? They're just not allowed anymore. As a matter of fact, you don't see kids with casts anymore. When I was a kid, right, London, you were the only one with a cast in your class, right? When I was a kid, you could walk into a third grade classroom, and it looked like the VA center. I mean, there are casts here, wrist there, broken ankle. I mean, the kids were like, it looked like you were walking into some infirmary. But now you just don't see a cast on a kid is really rare. You have a lot of casts in your class? Do you have a class where people fall a lot? More? How many casts do you have in your class right now? Good, good. But what I'm asking is how many casts do people in your class right now, how many casts are there? And how many? How many people, not that they've had a cast in their lifetime, not that they had a cast last year, not that they'll have a cast next year, but right now, how many of them have a cast? Jeez, yeah, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. That's the thing. Their casts are rare now. Because kids aren't allowed to do what we used to do just normally. I mean, I look and I see pictures from when I was a kid. No more stitches. I had stitches all over. A common question was, how many did you get? How many did you get? I remember having my radio flyer wagon. You remember those? Those little red wagons. It was a rust bucket. I mean, it should have painted its name on the side, tetanus. And it's got the metal handle. And a bunch of us, we were all about 9, and we still had these wagons. So we're like, what are we going to do with these? Well, up from my house, there was this road called David Drive. It was a dirt road. And it really wasn't used much. And it was a steep hill. It was a nice hill. Well, we could race going down that hill. Did we have helmets? No. I don't even think they sold helmets. All right, we didn't have helmets. And we'd get to the top, and there would be four of us with our radio flyers and be like, go. And we'd be going, and being boys, we immediately said, wait, we can make this better. So guys, what did we add? A jump! Definitely found a piece of plywood, got a piece of plywood, dragged over some cinder blocks and stuff, and did this jump. So we'd go and we would hit that jump and go flying, and then the front wheels would turn and you'd go, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. I was always going home beat up, hurt, and my mother would be like, if it's not bleeding, we're not going to the doctors. You know, we'll see how it is tomorrow. We'll see. You know, we had a kid in my neighborhood. His name was Joey, and he was about six, seven, and he got a concussion. And so he had to wear this helmet that the doctor said, you have to wear this helmet to protect your head. Now, men know what happened to Joey after he had this helmet on. The rest of us all played, does this hurt, with Joey. We would throw things, bounce them off his head. We would hit him. Did that hurt? Did that hurt? It was like his anti-concussion helmet brought out in all the boys the desire to hit the helmet. And we did. We used to have these dirt mounds in the back field near our house where somebody had planned to spread loam or something years back, but just didn't spread them. So they were cool, cool dirt mounds. And we would gather up as many acorns as we could find. And we would all have pockets and jackets full of acorns. And we would go out to those fields. And we would divide into teams and have acorn wars, where we would peg those things at each other just as hard as we could. And I'll tell you, when you got hit with the point end, they hurt. And you think, wow, that's ridiculous. Mom wouldn't let you do that now. Mom used to say in the summer, okay, you know, when you hear the bell, you come back. And as I got to be 10, 12 years old, it was, when the streetlights come on, it's time to come home. We even had commercials that I remember. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? Okay, it was a different time, a different society. And so we used to do this other thing. They were called, I don't know how many of you guys did this, single pump BB guns. We used to have single pump BB gun wars where we shoot each other. Yeah, and we had cheaters. David Boutette was a cheater. He was definitely pumping more than once, because they would almost embed in you. And I remember that we would say to each other, you go, try that. I remember there was this rope swing, and it was out over this, well, it wasn't really a cliff, but definitely a deep drop, and there were all the pucker brush with all the thorns and stuff, and it would swing out over. And we discovered this, and it looked like a pretty tattered rope. And so we had to decide who's going to do it. Who's going to go? Well, I was involved in the you should do it. And I said, I'm not doing that. Are you kidding? I'm the biggest kid out of all of us. You should go. You're small. Look at this rope. I don't know how long it's been here. And I was trying to reason with them. And then the problem came when they said, are you chicken? Chicken? I'm not chicken. Well, I dare you. A double dog dare you, a triple dog dare you. So I had no choice. I remember climbing on that rope, getting a running start, running off, jumping off that hill, swinging about to the apex, and that rope snapped. And I rolled into the pucker brush. Ow! Here is an embarrassing story. My mother, when I went home and had pickies all in me everywhere, was picking pucker brush needles out of my butt while I'm 12 years old, laying there, and she's saying, don't move, don't move. And she's got tweezers, and she's pulling these. Man, life was so much fun. We had a blast. And now everybody's so safe, it's like crazy. Like Robin and I have all we can do to figure out how to strap our kids into their NASCAR safety seats to take them anyplace. Our grandkids, it's like snap, 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 snap. We're like, we are ready for a rollover and everything. And when we crash, Nana and Grandpa are going to be dead, so you unclip and you drive, okay? So those were the times. And so in this series, we're going to be talking about faith over fear. And Ella and London, come here if you would. I need you to help me hand these out. These, I'm going to tell you about them. You're going to need these. I want you to pick a chicken. Here. You're going to pick a chicken. You take one side, and you take the other. And there are many colors. They're pretty. Pick a chicken while they're circulating. Because this morning, we're going to start this four-week series that is going to talk about how do we break free of fear in this fear-stoked society that we live in. Every headline is fear-based. Every news story is fear-based. Every report is fear-based. Everything in our society coming at us is fear-based because they've figured out that we respond quickly to fear. Your immediate response is fear, okay? That you're not processing it with your frontal cortex. You're taking in, it's processing in your amygdala, which either says fight or flight. So we do that with every headline, with everything else. So this week we'll start going over the things about fear. Next week we're going to talk about raising fearless kids in a fearful world. How do we raise fearless kids in a fearful world? And then the week after that, Chris is going to be speaking, and he's going to be talking about how do you face our fears and experience victory through building a sound mind. What does that even mean? It's going to be his 2-year anniversary, right, of sobriety. And so he'll be speaking about the importance of all of these obstacles and having a sound mind as you face them. And then the final week, that Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to be talking about how fear is a liar and how the enemy uses fear to get us stoked. So these are the things we're going to do. A good job. Thank you, chicken lady. You're awesome. I'll have to save them to give out. So these chickens that you have, I want you during this series to just kind of keep them in your pocket. Keep your chicken. And when you pull out stuff, your keys or whatever, and you see your chicken, just ask yourself, am I living in fear or faith? This decision I'm making, faith or fear? Okay? And just carry it with you. And if somebody says, hey, why do you have a little tiny acrylic chicken? You can tell them. You'd be like, I'm just a big chicken fan. So carry it with you just as a reminder of what we're going to go through in this series. So today we're going to talk about faith versus fear. We're going to talk about choosing rational wisdom. Choosing rational wisdom. We're going to talk about how we must overcome fear of the unknown. And lastly, we're going to talk about trusting God's love and how that frees us from so much. So to start off with faith versus fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, you see this verse up here. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. And that's what the King James said. I love that God has not given us a spirit of fear, so that when we have a spirit of fear, we can realize it and go, I am needing to replace this with faith. Now, understand something about this. We're not talking in this verse about you won't be afraid or you can't be afraid of anything. God has given you the ability to be afraid of things you should be afraid of. Okay? When it talks about a spirit of fear, that's talking about a behavior of fear, a pattern of fear. This is the way I walk. This is the way I live. I live in fear of so many things, or I'm always questioning. So when Scripture tells us that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, when we're walking in fear constantly, we need to recognize where does that come from? If it's not from God, it's from the enemy. The enemy loves to have us fearful. And how do we respond that God has given us power and of love and sound mind? Sound mind. In Joshua, in chapter 1, verse 9, it says this. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, we can see things when they're in Scripture and they're written to Joshua here, and some people will claim that and say, that's for me, it's written for me. Well, be careful with that. Be careful with that. But we can see throughout Scripture that God says, don't be in fear. So many times we know that it's for us as well. Let's kill an internet meme right away. Christians like to circulate this one. Oh, do not fear is so important that it says it in the Bible 365 times for one every day. You heard that? Nobody, just me. I'm always online. So these memes, and I'm always, when I get those, I go, really? No, no. He does say, do not fear, put your trust in me so many times, but it's not a convenient 365, okay? So this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Do you ever notice that when we're living in fear, that what oftentimes goes hand in hand with it is discouragement? Because we're so fearful, we become discouraged. So do not be afraid or discouraged. Why not? Why not? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We learn constantly here when we look to God's word and we start studying it, and we see that God doesn't bail on us when things get scary. God doesn't... Remember when we talked about there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God? There's nothing, neither height nor depth, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come. There's nothing, nothing that's going to separate us from the love of God. So that God is with us wherever we go, wherever we go. That should be an encouragement, because there are scary times that we face, but one of the first things we should come back to is, oh, but God is with me. Turn to Psalm 23:4. If you have a Bible, phone, or whatever. If you need a Bible, please take one with you. It's yours. It's a library. It's not a novel. I encourage you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to get the personality and character of Christ. But as we look at Psalm 23, verse 4, you're familiar with this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Why am I not afraid? I'm not afraid because God is with me. This cancer diagnosis, it scares the bejeepers out of me. That's natural, normal. I'm anxious about it. Those things will happen. But how I walk through it, I walk through it determined to choose faith, to say, God, this is yours. God, I will trust you and choose to trust you no matter what. So help me. Help me to choose faith over fear. Now, I need Angel, come on up here for a minute. We need a little fear demonstration. An angel would be great for faith versus fear. I have something in this bag. Okay. Could be good. Could not be good. You're going to look and say, is this good Scott or pranky Scott? Okay. What is this? And so you're going to reach in the bag. When you scream, don't try to limit it because it might blow the speakers. Very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. You get a chicken.
Okay.
All right. Where else can you go to church and win a chicken? So just as an example, with those games, with something, you got to decide, am I going to reach in here and grab something that could be, it could have been a pickled pig's foot in there. You know, it could have been something gross. It could have been just a mound of spaghetti and be like, ugh. I remember, I was a youth pastor, so I'm good at those games. I'm good at those games. That faith versus fear is, do I trust in this situation that this will turn out okay? An angel knows that I'm not going to hurt her. She knows that if it's something gross or a little, she's going to handle it. She knows she's not reaching in and hitting a rat trap. Oh, that would have been awesome. You know, like one of the big ones. Boom! No, she knows I'm not going to do that. Why? Because she has faith in my character, faith in the personality that I am, faith in the person that I am. And see, we can do that with God. That we know, God, our faith is in you, so this unknown, I'm going to go forward into it. A quote I read by a deep philosopher. Deep philosopher, I didn't know he was such a deep philosopher. Any of you familiar with Bear Grylls? You know, he's the survival guy. He's out there, you know, just doing things I would never do, but I love to watch. He's out there doing that. Well, he said this, both faith and fear are going to sail into your harbor. If you picture them as ships, both faith and fear are going to sail into your harbor, but we must only allow faith to drop anchor. We must only allow faith to drop anchor. We're going to say that fear is here. It's here. It's temporary because I allow faith to drop anchor in my life. See, the problem is that faith and fear are similar in some respects because they're both unknowns. Fear, that fear of the unknown. Faith, that step of, I'm not really sure what's coming. So they're similar in that regard. I remember in 1993, we had just gone through a horrific church plant split thing that was just so bizarre and became kind of abusive. The pastor, for example, would be like, he'd be preaching, he'd stop, and he'd say, wait, the Lord has just revealed to me that someone here, he wants to heal your wrist. And he'd say, and you are healed in the name of Jesus. And so elders and stuff, we'd ask him, how does that work? Because we never saw Jesus doing random, you know, just throwing them out there. He did direct heal. How does this work? And he told us, well, I'm preaching and I saw a wrist floating in the air. So I knew that God wanted to heal somebody's wrist. I knew somebody here had a problem with their wrist. It was wacky. So anyway, we had been there for 7 years and it started out great. And then it took this right-hand turn and went off the deep end. And so we were like, okay, we're out of here. But we didn't know what was next. I was kind of fearful. We've got 3 children. So I started looking into things, and there was this church in Hamilton, Massachusetts, right next to Gordon College and Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. And it was a thriving church. Just a larger church. They had a separate building that was like they bought for their youth ministry to own and make their own. And I was a youth pastor and did the interviews. I loved these people, and they called me to be their youth pastor. But at the same time, I had this group of doctors who were in Southern Maine, who were Christian doctors, meeting, and they said, we have this vision and we would like you to stay and help build youth ministry in the state of Maine. So kind of helping churches get started, help youth ministry build in the state of Maine. So I had these two options. These two options were one, in Hamilton, security, nice, a paycheck, a staff of like 8 people. I have my own secretary. I was like, woo, that is pretty sweet, as well as free tuition at Gordon-Conwell. I'm looking and going, wow, that would be awesome, but there's this other thing that I kind of feel called toward. Now, my poor wife, who's in the nursery, she's noticed, she's like, I'm in the nursery every time there's communion. Why is that? Because I tend to go a little long in communion. So I'm like, I'll do okay, honey, don't worry. But she's like, used to me choosing the thing that doesn't make much sense. She's used to that. So it was security or start something brand new from scratch and build it up, raise the income, put it together, file for 501c3, do all that stuff, start having youth events in Maine, trainings and all that. And so Robin and I went away for the weekend to pray about it. We had a great weekend together. We're having fun, you know, doing stuff and riding bikes and just having a great time and not praying at all about it. Then on the drive on the way home, she said, so what do you want to do? I said, I don't know. What do you want to do? Because my wife is my partner in ministry. I'm not going to do something she doesn't want to do. And she said, well, I really want to do what you feel God wants you to do. And I was like, well, I want to do the crazy thing. I want to do the thing that there's no money yet, and there's no foundation, and there's no office, and there's nothing. And she said, okay, that's what we're going to do. So faith versus fear, faith versus fear. There was much about that decision that I was fearful about. Will this work? Will people even do it? Will we? And it grew a ministry that had its season and was wonderful, but faith said, you walk toward that thing that God is calling you to. And so that's what we did. So faith and fear can be very similar in that you don't know what's ahead. I'm going in faith and I'm going to step forward, but I don't know what's ahead. Fear tends to keep me back, where I say, whew, I'm scared of that, so I'm staying right here. You know, I saw this this quote that I'd like to share with you. My pastor, a Baptist pastor back in the day, Harry Fosdick. Grab a picture of this if you want. Just the similarities, but the differences. Faith imprisons. I mean, fear imprisons. Faith liberates. Fear paralyzes. Fear paralyzes, but faith empowers. Faith empowers. Fear disheartens, but faith encourages. Fear sickens, but faith heals. Fear makes useless. Faith makes serviceable. I saw that quote as I was preparing, and I was like, wow. To see the contrast so clearly was helpful for me, to see that that contrast. The next thing, choose rational wisdom. If we're going to develop faith over fear and not be chickens, we've got to start choosing rational wisdom. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 from the New Living Translation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight, was how I memorized it. But we see in the New Living Translation, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. There have been so many things in my life. Faith things oftentimes don't seem to make a lot of sense. They don't make a lot of sense. It's like when God calls Robin and I to give when times are tight, that's like, it doesn't make sense. I remember one time we met with a financial advisor because we were like, well, maybe this guy can show us how to live on what we're bringing in. And we met with him, and his counsel was, you give too much. This is where you need to cut. And we were both like, oh, we can't cut there. Because we feel that God has called us to support that missionary, that God has called us to support this. We feel that God has called us, and we're not going to cut that. And so we've had times where we don't have a whole lot, but God says, give. And we go, okay, God. And you know what happens every single time? God provides. He provides in ways that it might not be. I'm not going to tell you, give 500 and he gives me 15,000. I'm not going to tell you any of that. That's not how this works. It's not what the Bible says, no matter what the guy on TV says. I don't care. The Bible says that God will bless us as we walk in faith. And in our lives, he has. Sometimes I sit in our little living room and I just consider my life at 62 years old. I just looking, this week will be my 13th anniversary of my liver transplant. 13 years of bonus days. And so sometimes I sit in my living room and I just think, wow, God. Thank you, God. It would have been cool if you called me home. You know, that would have been awesome too. But thanks for this. I have everything I need and so much stuff I don't need. Yesterday I was watching Calvin's baseball game on TV because now youth baseball games in Florida, you can watch them streaming on TV. Well, it just baffles me. But anyway, I'm watching on TV and he's at shortstop and Kristen is saying, you know, oh, he's out at shortstop now. Just there's two black teams' uniforms playing each other, so just look for the red hats. And I'm like, I can't see red hats. They're tiny out there. And so I said, aha, you know what I need? I need an 85-inch TV. Why? Not for me, so I can see my grandson better playing. Robin said no. Choose. We need to choose God's wisdom. Not just lean on our own understanding all the time of what this looks like. Because so many times, what it looks like is not at all what God had planned. And we walk those steps and we find out. The third thing, we must overcome our fear of the unknown. In Isaiah 41:10, it says this, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do you hear this again? I am with you. Don't be discouraged. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See, the unknown. As we choose faith and we choose to walk in faith, we're overcoming that fear of the unknown. Well, how? Small steps develop trust. Small steps. Don't be like, oh, I'm scared and faith and everything, so I need to trust my faith, so I'm quitting my job tomorrow and moving to Iowa because I had a dream that Iowa was a great place to be, so that was God, so I'm going to follow through in faith, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm not saying that's a huge leap. If God has given you this dream a few times and you have friends confirming it and he's giving you a vision, then sure, go for it. But if you're scared and you need to take small steps, you're going to find God is faithful every single time. And each time you find out he's faithful, you can trust him with something bigger and something bigger and something bigger. I love faith stuff. It's like this morning when Ella did announcements. When I asked her, Ella, would you be on the announcement team? You're bubbly, you're fun, I love your smile, you're hospitable. What about it? And she was like, hesitated for a sec, and then went, yeah, okay. Chelsea, do you do the same thing, right? When we're stepping out in faith and discovering, oh, look, that's not so bad. I'm relaxed, I'm in front of my family here, and it's all good. I love the people who have been stepping out in faith and learning that stinking giant digital soundboard that we have. It's got 4.7 billion buttons. And every one of them, you push and go, huh? Oops, star just disappeared. Why? We don't know. We don't know. You're stepping in faith and saying, I don't know, but I can try and I can learn. Take small steps. The fourth thing, as we look at it, trust in God. Trusting in God, his love, frees us. It frees us. This is what Jesus, said to his disciples. He was telling them that he's going to leave and he's going to go to the Father, which, remember, they were all shocked when it came to this, and they still didn't understand what he's talking about, that he's going to leave and he's going to go and he's going to die. This is another time that Jesus is telling them clearly that he's going to be with his Father and this is going to be the plan. And he says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Choose to walk in faith. You know that chronic fear, living in fear instead of faith? We know now through studying the body that living in fear has its effects on us. It's some of them that I looked up, physical effects of chronic fear, increased heart rate, shortness of breath, digestive issues, weakened immune system, muscle tension, trembling, sweating, chills, emotional effects, heightened anxiety, difficulty concentrating, memory impairment, social withdrawal, irritability, and mood swings, and then post-traumatic stress. Living in fear is choosing those things. And if we're living in chronic fear, the first steps are, Lord, show me the steps to change this behavior. And God might say, all right, I want you to talk with somebody. I want you to talk to a therapist who's going to give you some tools and help you discover a new way to live. And you're going to search scripture, and you're going to pour into being in your faith groups with others, and you're going to pour into learning how to live in faith, because living in chronic fear disables us. As the music team comes up this morning, and we get ready to take communion together, recognizing this table where Jesus called us to do this as we remember him. I wonder what that means. As we remember Jesus, do you think he means just remember that he broke bread and he drank the wine and he passed it out? Or does he mean remember the last 3.5 years together. Remember love. Remember my character. Remember giving people new life. Remember showing people forgiveness. Remember reaching out to the marginalized, the person beat up on the side of the road and paying their hotel bill and their to be better, you know, get better. Is it remember me? I think it is. So when I come to this table and I remember Jesus sitting with his disciples and telling them that this is my body. This is a symbol. It represents my body. And it's broken for you. It's going to be broken for you. And then when he took the cup and he said, this is my blood poured out for the payment of sin. When you gather, every time you gather, when you eat together, pause and remember. Yes, remember that Jesus went to the cross to forgive us of our sin, to give us new life, but also to remember the person of Jesus, how he lived and what he showed us. And when he said, do what I do, live like I've lived. Lord God, we thank you so much because we know that none of us can possibly live up to your holy and righteous standard. We know that we fall short. But Lord, your love poured out grace on us, poured out forgiveness on us through the body and blood of your Son. Jesus, thank you for your broken body. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for the new life that you give us, that life that we can live in faith over fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Come as you want to, if you'd like to. Take the bread, take the cup while we sing. This week, each time you reach into your pocket and you feel that little chicken in there, or you pull it out and you see it, or you put it on your dashboard, or whatever you do with it, remember that God says, don't be a chicken. Don't be a chicken. Choose faith over fear. I hope you guys will join us downstairs for our potluck. We'll do some Star Wars trivia. I've got fantastically lame prizes, as always. Have a great week, guys. Let's pray. Father, go with us now. We pray in Jesus' name that you help us choose faith over fear. In Jesus' name, amen.